morning, everybody. I am so glad to be up here, speaking once again, speaking the word of God. So we've been in Luke, right? We've been going through the book of Luke, and the gospel of Luke tells story after story of the outsiders in the world that are being called in to a life with Christ. And a lot of them had some of the lowliest jobs and the smelliest jobs, like the shepherds and the fishermen, right? They were the lowest of the low, but even the fishermen knew they were better than those people, those traitors who robbed their own people, like the tax collectors. So that they thought that anyway, right? But Jesus called tax collectors too. And the reason tax collectors are so hated is because these were Jewish people who worked for Rome. So Rome was occupying Israel, right? They had taken over. They're taking money from them. They're appointing these Jews to collect this money for the Romans. And then the tax collectors are told also to collect a commission for themselves. And many of them asked for even more. So they were basically robbing the people of their money. And so they were kind of hated because of taking the money and because of their association with Rome. So again, truly the lowest of the low. And yet Jesus called a tax collector. And today in Luke, we're going to read about a story of the tax collector that Jesus called. And many of you probably already know his name. Matthew, thank you. Yes, Matthew. It was Matthew. He wrote his own book of the Bible, but there's a story about him in Luke. And in Luke's story, Matthew is still called Levi, but his life is about to change. So before we get into scripture, let's pray. Lord, thank you for calling us here today. Thank you for calling the outsiders in, that we were outsiders once. Maybe we still are, Lord, but you have called us into a life with you. Thank you for these stories that we're about to dive into. Help us to hear your word, hear what you want us to take into our hearts. This message of invitation, Lord, your word speaking through us, your Holy Spirit with us today. Lord, be with us as we hear you. In your name, amen. Okay, so we are going to be in Luke. You can use a Bible in the rack in front of you, the page numbers up there on the screen, or your app, whatever you have. There will be the verses on the screen, but it's always nice to have the real thing in front of you too. We're going to be in chapter 5, beginning with verse 27. So this story picks up after Jesus has already called all of those smelly fishermen, Peter, James, and John. They left their nets. They followed Jesus right away. And then Jesus went around and was healing people in Galilee. And so this is the point we're picking up in verse 27. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi, Matthew, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. So let's pause there for a second. Matthew, or Levi, likely knew that when he left that tax collector's booth, he was leaving employment. He was going to be unemployed. He wasn't going to have a job anymore, and yet he didn't even hesitate for a moment. Maybe all he grabbed with him was his pen, but he left everything else. Many of the other disciples that had followed Jesus, they kind of could fall back on going back to fishing and having a job to support them. But for Matthew, there was no turning back. He left everything to follow Jesus. He left behind an old life to begin a new and better life, because he knew that following Jesus leads to a changed life. This would make such a change in his life, as it does in all of us. So then in verse 29, later Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. And many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" That's pretty harsh. But Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." So we read here that the first thing that Matthew does after leaving his job to follow Jesus is to throw a party. And he invites all of his fellow outsider friends. In doing this, he was demonstrating a posture of pursuit, of pursuing others and inviting them into a space to get to know Jesus. That's the same thing that we do when we invite others into church or into conversations about Jesus. And I love that our church here strongly believes in a posture of pursuit. We say that we will do anything except sin to reach others to know Jesus. So I have a question. How many of you here in this room were invited at one time? Are here because you were invited by someone else at one time? Yeah, that's amazing. I knew that would happen. Because I was invited here. I was invited to this church by somebody else. And then I was invited out to dinner with people from this church. And then I was invited into a life group of fellow people from this church, where I developed even deeper relationships with people who have become my good, good friends. And this church has become my family. It's a place where I know that I will hear the word of God being preached, where I know that we will come together and worship God in many ways. And being a part of a church that is devotedly following Jesus has changed my life. And it all began with an invitation. And so when we talk about evangelism and inviting others to church or even into conversations about Jesus, I know that sometimes we can feel apprehensive, right? A little nervous. Maybe you've had some of the thoughts that I know I have. Maybe you've said to yourself, I don't really know people outside of my group of Christian friends. I don't really know anybody else to invite or to talk to. Or maybe you're just nervous about talking to people you don't know. I'm kind of afraid. I'm shy. I don't know what to say. Maybe you're saying, I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. I don't think I know enough. And these are all perfectly normal concerns to have. These are all normal thoughts that we all have. But I have good news. I have some ways for us to overcome these thoughts and to have a posture of pursuit. So first, pray. Pray. We should always be praying first in everything that we do. Praying before we go out. Praying before we have conversations. Praying before we talk to people. We should pray for the Holy Spirit to guide our conversations and give us the right words to say wherever we are or whoever we're talking to. Because He knows exactly what you need to say. You don't have to worry about what to say, because when you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, He empowers you with a boldness to speak His truth. And others will hear that, right? Secondly, don't be discouraged if they say no. Because that might happen. The person you invite might say no. Or the person you want to have a conversation with might say, not right now. But don't let that stop you. Because sometimes you're just the one that's planting the seed, and someone else might be the one to water it. And God is the one who helps it grow. There's a verse about that. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 7 through 9 says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work, for we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. You're his workers no matter what. And remember, even if someone isn't ready yet to come to church, isn't ready yet to have that conversation, it doesn't mean that it will never happen, because we work in God's timing. God knows when that person will be ready to say yes, to accept that call. And you need to rely on God's timing, whether you're the seed planter or whether you are the waterer. And finally, listen for who God is leading you to. So God may be opening the doors to inviting the grocery store clerk or the mechanic or your dentist, right? Because the gospel is truly for everyone. But I believe that you'll find that God has actually placed some people in your life already. Maybe in your inner circle, some people who are searching for him. It could be that they're searching for a church to go to. Or maybe they're already in church. Maybe they're already in here and they want to join a life group. They need to have connection to grow together as our church family. Or maybe it is someone that's searching for a relationship with Jesus. And you probably already have some people coming into your mind right now. Maybe you do realize that you have some friends or some family members that you're thinking about. And so I actually want to take a moment to stop, to think about these, and to write them down. In your bulletins, there's a little space that says, who will you invite? And I want you to think of three people, three different people in particular, or more if you have more. But these are the categories I want to give you. Think of one person to invite to church. That could be inviting to this church, or maybe it's somebody who lives somewhere else and you just want to invite them to a church. Second is one person to invite into a life group. You heard Pastor Sharina and David say earlier, life groups are starting this week here at church. Again, these are our groups of people, of friends, of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who gather together, who grow together, who support each other in prayer and other ways. It's an important part of being a part of a church. So maybe you know somebody who needs to be invited into that. Maybe you are the one who needs to be that person. Maybe you don't have a life group yet and you want to be a part of it. You're invited. They're open. Most of them, right? And finally, one more person to invite into a conversation about Jesus. One person who you know doesn't know Jesus yet. But Jesus knows them. Jesus knows every single one of us. He's tugging at the hearts of all those people. And maybe your conversation will be the one that plants that seed. So I'm going to give you just a moment to write these down while I drink water. And now that you have these names written down, I want you to take them and keep them somewhere where you'll see them every single day and where you'll pray for them every single day. And as you do that, listen. Listen and watch for the ways that God is working and be ready for whoever God leads you to. Be ready for when that conversation comes. For when that opportunity comes. Because God, he's tapping on your shoulder. And sometimes we're like, no, not right now. But it's so, so important. Important doesn't, that's not a big enough word. I can't think of a better word. Because following him will change your life and the lives of others. It makes a tremendous difference. So So I'm going to read verses 31 and 32 again, but I really like the Message version of the Bible with these verses. It says, Jesus heard about it and spoke up. Who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders. An invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out. Jesus is inviting you, and he's inviting you to invite others. So let's continue in verse 33. It says, one day some people said to Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking? I mean, why not? Come on. We're going to be eating and drinking today. That's what we do. Potluck Sunday. But Jesus responded, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the new garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. So in this passage, I want to focus on these last few verses where Jesus is talking about new wine. So in biblical times, wine was not stored in glass bottles. It was stored in goat skins that were actually sewn around the edges to form like a watertight seal. And new wine expanded as it fermented, stretching the wineskin. And so after it had aged, the stretched skin would burst if any new wine was poured into it. Therefore, new wine was always put into new wineskins. Like Jesus said, we don't want to ruin it. So Jesus is saying this because he didn't just come to patch up the old rigid ways of religion and tradition and Judaism. His purpose was to fulfill it and start something new. Because Jesus Christ is God's Son. He came here to earth to offer all people forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. A new life. Maybe you feel that your heart has become rigid too, that you can't change. But we need to keep our hearts pliable so we can accept Jesus' life-changing message. Just like Matthew found out when he began to follow Jesus, we too are given a new life. A life of love and acceptance, even of our flaws. And know this life will not always be easy. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. The life of Jesus is seen in us and through us, even in our suffering. We are a work in progress, but we're also given a new purpose. God has given each of us skills and abilities to grow and utilize in his kingdom now. And it's through these gifts that we build up our church body. Not just building the building and not just filling the seats with people. That's not the reason. But it's inviting others into a life of following Jesus. Because even in our suffering, he promises hope and encouragement, for a future where there will be no more suffering and all things will be made new. New bodies, new hearts, a new life. This future is promised to all who believe in him. And he begins the work in us now. And through faith, we can look forward to living forever with God in his glory. Following Jesus will change your life. And I have one last story of invitation that I want to share. And this one is about my dad. So as a teenager, my dad did not know Jesus. And he was going down a pretty dark path. If he continued down that path, it would not have been good. But he was invited to church by a good friend. And when he went to church, he finally understood why his friend was so different. He wanted that difference. He wanted that peaceful presence for his own life, and he accepted Jesus into his heart. And it was at this church that he met and married my mom. And he chose to follow Jesus and raise his children in life with Christ too. And this simple invitation, just this one, hey, will you come to church with me? From one young friend to another, was life-changing for my dad. And for me, because without it, I would not have been born. So invitations are powerful. So with that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your invitation. Lord, I pray this invitation over every single person that hears your message, your word today, this invitation to follow you, wholeheartedly, devotedly, to realize the life-changing message that you have given us, and then to accept that call to invite others into this life, to see all the ways that you make our lives better, not perfect, but better for knowing you, for loving you, for you loving us. Lord, I pray that we can accept the call to move forward, to go into action, to pray over these names. I pray over every single name that was written down today, that you lead us into these conversations, that you empower us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you and bless this congregation. In your name, Jesus, amen.